the Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journals, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible Girl too.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to talk to you today about something that's been on my heart a lot in the last few weeks. I'm so happy to be back after a long break. I've been on sabbatical from my job for 6 weeks and enjoying a little bit of a different pace of life and a bit of a break from a lot of the work and study that I do here in my job working at Littlestown Chapel. I have many things swirling in my head from my time away, but I hope to talk to you just a little bit today about the value of rest and taking a break, because I experienced that for this time in such a way that I feel like I need to be an ambassador and encourage people to do it in whatever capacity that they have. So we're going to talk today about overload and how to step back, and just some things that I really discovered as I was enjoying a time of rest for myself. Before I get into that, though, I'd like to start with just a few housekeeping things. I wanted to just welcome all of those who are newer to the podcast. We picked up some new subscribers. We have some new people joining us on our Facebook group. We have some people who have emailed me recently to say they've just started listening. I just wanted to welcome all of those who are joining us in the last few weeks. And just wanted to let you know, while you can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, and that's really an easy, convenient way just to listen each week. If you subscribe, it just automatically downloads for you and you can listen to it each week when we post a new episode. But it only keeps the most recent few episodes. I think it might be 20 episodes the last time I checked. So we're getting close to 60 episodes now. And if you wanted to go back and listen to something maybe that's older, you wouldn't see that on iTunes. So if you go to the podcast page, which is BibleGirlPodcast.com, you can look at every single episode is on there. It's archived there. You can listen to it there online. I think you can download them from there as well. It's just a more convenient way to get to some of those older episodes if you weren't subscribed in the beginning and had them already downloaded. iTunes is only going to hold on to the most recent episodes. So check those out if you're looking for something specific. I also wanted to mention that we are getting a Facebook group underway to try and have a little communication with each other. I've been on the fence about it because it's a little bit of an upkeep on my part and whether I have the time to do it. But I think that it will ultimately, the benefits will outweigh the time spent. So we're going to give this a try. Those of you that have joined our Facebook group, you probably have noticed we haven't had much going on there while I've been away. I have appreciated those of you who have been posting some of your scripture writing, and that has been fun, and introducing yourself. In the next 2 weeks, I have several posts coming up that will explain more of what I hope the group will be, and some opportunities for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and to get some conversation started. I would love for you to participate in that. It's such a blessing to be able to see the people that that I'm serving through this podcast. And to be able to see your faces in your little photos, and also to just see what God is teaching you through some of the things that we're talking about or through the scripture writing. So if you'd like to hop on there, you can do so. Just search for Bible Girl Podcast in the group section on Facebook, and we should come up. It is a closed group. I want to be able to keep spam out of the group, so people that post spam, I can block them a little easier and stuff. So it is a closed group. That just means you just need to ask to be subscribed, and then I try to get on there. While I was on sabbatical, I kind of only did it once a week or so, but I'm going to try to get on there a couple of times a week, and we'll make sure that we get those approvals right away so that you get your you're able to get onto the page and participate and be a part of it. So just click join once you find the page, and we'll get you signed up right away. Today, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to be talking a little bit about the story of Elijah. I want to set it up for you because Elijah is one of my favorite people in the Bible. I have a lot of favorites. If you listen to the podcast very long, you're probably chuckling. But I appreciate some things about his story. And this particular story has come to be very precious to me in the past few weeks. I want to set up where he's at this point in his life. He has been had this huge mountaintop experience, literally on a mountain, where he kind of went up against the evil queen Jezebel and her foreign gods. Her gods of Baal were and her ministers of this god of Baal were pitted against Elijah and the one true God. And Elijah was able to defeat them by showing God's power. He was able to have his sacrifice that he had placed to God not only be consumed with fire from heaven, but he dumped buckets of water all over it, so it was the place where the fire was supposed to take hold and this sacrifice was supposed to burn up, it was drenched with water. So the likelihood of it catching on fire by human means was incredibly unlikely. The only way that it would catch fire would be if God did it. And so he wins this battle by showing that God can do anything. God is not controlled by the elements the way everyone else is, including these false gods. And he has this amazing experience. And then after all these years of drought, there's been many years of drought for this area of the world. Elijah says, you know, God's going to send rain now. And he does. He sends rain to this parched land. And you can just imagine a country where, you know, they don't have, you know, the sack and shop that you can run to get your groceries. You have to grow everything yourself. So you can imagine that drought is incredibly difficult, and it makes life harder, and it probably cost them dearly during this time. And so this amazing celebration of rain coming and God finally relenting and bringing this water and being able to nourish and refresh the ground and have their crops grow again. And after all of this, Elijah kind of stumbles away, and Jezebel finds out about what he's done, and she's very angry, and she vows to kill him by tomorrow. She wants Elijah dead. And it said that he was afraid, so he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And in 1 Kings 19, verse 4, it says, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. So here's Elijah after this glorious, great moment, and he is just overwhelmed with fear, and he is obviously very defeated and discouraged at this time. And this brings me to one of the things that I understood afresh as I was away on these 6 weeks of sabbatical, and that is that exhaustion and overload and living beyond our limits isn't always from bad things. You know, oftentimes we have this idea that, you know, our schedule's just out of control and we need to fix it, or all of these other people are putting demands upon us, or maybe there's something that you're going through in life, a transition in your life. Maybe there's something going on with your job, and maybe your company's been bought out and there's this big transition, or maybe it's a family transition. Maybe you've moved your in-laws in to live with you, or you've had to downsize your house because one of you lost your job, and there's this idea that, you know, this overload and exhaustion kind of comes from all of these bad things. But Elijah's came from something good. His exhaustion came after a high. It came after seeing God's power in a huge and great and mighty way. And then Elijah finds himself weary, afraid and alone after the end of it. And I identified a lot with him because I don't feel like any of my weariness was from bad things, although we have had some difficulties at our church. It's just like any other church. We've had losses, and we have had several big losses of people who attended and passed away. We've had some things like that, but much of my overload came from doing good things for the Lord and came from those exciting moments where God is moving and God is working. But it's very easy for us to take on more than God intended and for us to do it all in our own strength. And I think that's Elijah here. You know, he had this big moment where God had to come through, but he put a little too much emphasis, I think, on what he was doing. In fact, he goes on to say a little bit later, he says that I'm the only one who's left. I'm the only person left who's serving the Lord. And he had a little bit of an over-vaulted opinion of himself. And of course, he was not the only one still serving the Lord. There were many people who God was protecting, and there were others who were serving God. In fact, I think it's a good number of people. I'm just looking here where he says 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he wasn't alone. There was a lot of other people that were love God and were serving him too. But good things can exhaust us and weary us. And it's kind of a subtle overload because it kind of creeps up on you slowly over time. You know, Elijah had a lot of other things going on during the time when there was no rain. He was grasping for food himself. God miraculously provided for him. He had a period of a lot going on in his ministry in a reasonably short amount of time. And I think that those times can overwhelm us into thinking that we have too much to do. We have too much going on. We have too much on our plates. We have too much to shoulder on our own. You know, we have physical limits. We were created and designed with them. And it's interesting in this passage that when he gets to this place, God takes care of his physical needs first. It says that after he made that statement, you know, I just want to die. The Bible says that he lay down and he slept under the broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So God's first response to him after hearing his cry and his anguish, his fear, his depression, his discouragement, is to let him sleep, to get him some food and some water, to put him back to sleep for a while, to have him enjoy another good meal before God moved him on to this cave. He's going to go to this cave, a cave in Mount Horeb. And, you know, we have physical limits and we often operate past our limits. This is why establishing a rhythm of work and rest and play and celebration and renewal and those things are important to us, that we not just constantly be in work mode, but that we have moments to pause and to stop. And I never, I've struggled with that my whole life in many ways. I'm a type A person, very excited to get up and get busy and get things done and plan and cross things off my list. I don't appreciate enough the rhythm of life, of work and then rest. And so that's a lesson that God has been teaching me over and over again. And I feel like these past 6 weeks, we went a little deeper on that. And I realizing how important it is to have a healthy rhythm that takes into account times where ministry or serving others or taking care of the things that God has placed in my life for me to deal with requires that I step back and take a nap and eat some good food and rest some more. And I think that it was very important for God to include this story in the Bible, because here we see someone who is just living such a strong and powerful life for the Lord, and yet it was just as important for him to stop and to take a nap and to rest. When we live past our limits and we overload our lives, whether it's with tasks or expectations or voices or distractions, we tend to lose sight of God and where He's working and speaking in our lives. And that is probably one of the greatest blessings of this 6 weeks of sabbatical, was the ability to put the noise of my life on hold and to listen to God and to hear His voice. Because He is going to come very softly, and we have to quiet down enough to hear Him. We have to settle our spirits enough to hear the voice of His Spirit. When Elijah came to this cave there at Mount Horeb, it said the earthquake and the strong wind and the fire, all of these things come and pass in front of this mountain where he's hiding in this cave. And they were empty of God. They did not have the voice of God in them until, it says, after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In those moments, in that quietness and that stillness, God was able to get to the heart of what Elijah needed to know and the heart of what Elijah wanted to tell God. And in those moments, God was able to minister to him. Elijah told God about his fear. He told him how he felt. And God speaks to him in that moment and gives him help by saying, "You know, I'm going to lead you to Elisha, who's going to carry on after you. And he is going to be a helper for you." And then he also gives him a purpose. He says, "I have plans for you. I have things for you to do. This is not the end for you." When you reach a place of such complete exhaustion and overload and living beyond your limits, you often feel that life's never going to get back to the way it was before. You often feel like this is just a hopeless existence spreading out in front of you. And God was able to, after he had rested and after he was able to hear the voice of God away from the noise, away from his responsibilities, God was able to speak to him and give him help and renew his purpose. He still had good things for Elijah to do. It's interesting to me that he points out that I'm going to give you Elisha and he's going to carry on after you're gone. It's like he's saying your ministry's shifting a little bit. And I think that's another good thing about these times when we pull away. They're often an opportunity for God to point us in a new direction. And maybe our work doesn't change, but the way we do our work, the motivation behind it, is going to change. Elijah is still going to go out and do great things for God, but he's doing them to train Elisha, who will carry on for him when he's gone. He's got an audience now. This person will help him, yes, will be a companion for him, someone else to help carry the burden. But he is becoming the teacher now, and he is going to pass on the power and the insight that God has given to him. He's going to be building that into Elisha. So he's still going out and he's still ministering, but his purpose and his goals have changed. And this often comes after times of quietness and rest and solitude, when God can get to our hearts and really hear what we are saying in a way that we haven't heard it before. One of the things I was surprised by was some of the things that I would write down in my journal and realize that I've been feeling this way for a while, but I didn't really hear myself until I quieted all the other voices aside. In quietness and solitude, we hear the voice of God, that low whisper that calls to our souls. And during these times, God will give us what we need. He'll give us the help that we need. And he'll also renew his commitment to us and his purpose for our lives. You know, if you are unfamiliar with what it's like to be overloaded, I know that a lot of people probably have a good idea of what their life looks like when you're experiencing times of overload and living beyond your limits. I want to say, I think that we need to broaden our description of that a little bit. I think it's not just when your schedule is packed and you're tired. I think overload often comes from a lot of other things. For me personally, I have realized that a lot of my overload is emotional. I am not necessarily physically tired. I am emotionally weary. And whether it's because of a lot of people around me going through a lot, and I feel like I'm carrying their burdens and lifting them up to the Lord, I also think that for much of it is I am not always in tune with my own emotions. And so I'm not processing my own feelings correctly. So I think we need to look beyond just physical exhaustion and realize that overload can also just sap our spirits and our souls. And here is some signs that you might be dealing with overload. First of all, you have no ability to look at a problem rationally and realize that it's not, realize the size of the problem. Every single thing that comes into your life is huge. Every problem is massive, okay? I've seen this in myself a lot. I've seen this in other people that I've talked to where, you know, small little things that we would probably in when we're not overloaded would consider annoyances become things that just derail our whole day. They're no longer an annoyance. They're a huge problem. It's the old making, you know, mountains out of molehills. We're just taking something that's not really that important and we're making it something huge. Another thing is that everything looks too hard. Everything seems too difficult and too hard. This is why we give up a lot of times on our spiritual disciplines and reading God's word. We're just tired and we're just too overloaded and it just seems like too much work. Before I left on my sabbatical, I was kind of to the point where I was this way with decisions. I had decision overload. And somebody would ask me, you know, where do you want to go out to eat? And I would collapse into tears. I could not think. Can't you just pick for me? Please just tell me what to eat. I can't think. Everything just seems so difficult and it's really hard to make decisions and to do, to figure out what to do next. Another thing is that we tend to view people as needy and demanding. And yes, we all have people in our lives that are overly needy and demanding. But when you begin to think that every single person is looking to get a piece of you, it's a good sign that what you are overloaded in some area of your life. And so that's a good red flag to pay attention to when it just seems like there is every single person needs something from you. And that something is something you don't have it to give. Another sign that, you know, you may be experiencing overload is that the things that used to fuel you drain you. The things that used to energize you and make you happy just seem too hard, too difficult, too uninteresting, too complicated. I felt that way. In fact, my reading this year has really, normally I read a lot of fiction and nonfiction. And while I've read a lot of nonfiction for my job, I have to read a lot of things. Personal pleasure reading has been slow this year. I sit down to read and I can't keep my focus on it. I'm tired. It was exciting to read. I read 25 books while I was away on sabbatical, and that was really exciting to me. And 11 of them were fiction, which was such a joy to be able to enjoy books again. And I think that that's a sign, that one of those little signs, the things that used to really fuel us and make us happy just are one more thing that we just can't find the time for. And when we do, they drain us and it's more work than pleasure. Another one, and this is one we certainly see from the story of Elijah, is that we lose hope. We lose hope, we lose vision, we lose the ability to see God clearly and what he's doing in our lives. After this great mountaintop experience, Elijah is seeing the power of God in such an awe-inspiring way. And yet he slumps down under a tree and just wants to die. And he's lost hope. He doesn't see where God's going to take him next and what's going to happen after this. And we all get there. Whether you're just overwhelmed with all of life, or whether there's something in life that's causing you to feel overwhelmed, realize that the way you feel today is not necessarily reality. Just because you feel like you're losing your hope does not mean that hope is not there for the taking. God will give you hope. And just like he met Elijah in those moments, and he began to birth that purpose back in him and give him a reason to get up out of that cave and head back to town, he will do the same for you. He certainly has done that for me over these past 6 weeks and helped me refine a little bit of my direction in life and what God is doing in the midst of my life. So, not everyone can take 6 weeks and go to the mountains. And to be honest with you, not everyone needs to. I think those of you in full-time ministry who are serving in churches that are really doing a lot of emotional work and caring for people well, I think sabbaticals are excellent, and I think you should try to take those. But every one of us needs to pull away and to have some downtime, some time to just exist, some time to not be doing, and a time to just relax into the presence of God and with the people that we love, and rest and sleep and eat and breathe deeply and take walks and do puzzles and play games and just enjoy life for a few moments, away from the expectations, away from the task list, away from the tireless distractions of this world that just numb us to what God is really doing in our lives. So how can you do this? Well, I would encourage you, if you are not currently spending time in God's Word daily, that's the first step. You need to carve aside some time to be quiet and still before God, to pray to Him and to read His Word. But that isn't enough when it comes to dealing with overload, when it comes to establishing a rhythm that really helps us combat that. I think we need more than that. And this is where a Sabbath day comes in. A Sabbath day can be a great thing for you to do. I did a lot of reading on the Sabbath. We've actually did a podcast on the Sabbath a while back, and I was not as convinced that we needed a Sabbath back then. I think I would redo that podcast differently now. But I think that it's something that is becoming increasingly difficult in our culture to carve out a day to rest and let expectations go. But I I think it's important to do that. And maybe a full day is impossible for you, but maybe you could begin with your family to carve out an evening or a few hours where everyone has to be home. And the TV stays off and the cell phones get locked up in a drawer somewhere. And you enjoy being together and you enjoy the presence of God in a fresh way. You pray together, you hear His voice. I think that you would benefit greatly from that. And I also think, especially if you're a mom with a lot of noise in your house, if you have little ones and very chaotic, I would encourage you to try to schedule a few hours every month to just be by yourself. I know that's hard for some, and I know many women would just say that they couldn't leave their family or they feel guilty, and I'm just telling you right now, the way you take care of yourself, the better that you take care of yourself, the better you're able to take care of them, and the better you're able to meet their needs. So if you can sneak in a few hours to go to a coffee shop and then just people watch for a little while and maybe write in a journal or read a good book or pray for a while with a cup of coffee and a snack, just those few hours here and there to just recharge your spirit a little bit. We are not talking about, you know, just the idea of just a little frivolous time away. I'm talking about the things that really nourish your soul. We were created for fellowship and deep community with people that we love and that God has given to us and our family and our friends. We were created to crave God and time with Him. And when we don't, it's because all of these other things are crowding in and all the other distractions are making it too loud for us to hear His voice. And so I would encourage you to try to fit in some ways to be still and be quiet before God, because overload sneaks up on you. It's subtle. And I think we end up in dangerous places before we realize it. And I definitely know that's been the case for me. And I've been very blessed to be able to take some time and to fill my tank a bit and to rest and be with God. I want to just encourage you in this, because I know that this oftentimes taking those moments for yourself, any kind of self-care for women can be a touchy subject. And I just want to say that I understand that this is a hard thing to do. It's easy to talk about. It's really fun to talk about, you know, the things you like to do and how you would like your life to be. But when it comes down to actually executing it, it isn't easy. It can be hard because it affects your family. It affects maybe your job. It affects the people around you. And so it is a bit of a challenge. But I just want to say that I think the blessings are definitely worth it. And I know that God has things to say to you if you will quiet down and you will hear His voice. I'm sure I'll have some other things to talk about some of the lessons I learned during my time away in future podcasts. I am going to be working on a little bit about the Sabbath and maybe a revised view of the Sabbath that I'll be sharing with you probably toward the beginning of next year. I'm working on scripture writing for December. That list should go up a little bit before Thanksgiving. I'm going to try to do it a little earlier this month just because I have a busy end of the month. So that stuff should come out in a couple of weeks. I encourage you during this month of Thanksgiving, it would be a great time to just set aside a few minutes to talk to God and tell Him the ways that you're thankful for what He's doing in your life. And maybe pray that He would give you some wisdom in how you can set aside some moments to be with Him in stillness and quiet and rest. The Bible says that God's yoke is easy and His burden is light. And when we are with Him, we'll find rest for our souls. And that's a promise. And I know that He is able and desperately wanting to fulfill that promise in your life if you're willing to cooperate with Him. Have a great week. We'll see you back at the podcast next week.
Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, listen to past episodes, sign up for my newsletter, or download show notes and scripture writing plans. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to download Bible study worksheets and get the latest podcast news. You can also talk with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's Jessie, J-E-S-S-I, L. Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.